Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And foul faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Again there, the faith is the substance of things hoped for. We've yet not talked about hope, but hope comes. There's two types of hope. There's a natural hope and a spiritual hope. And our spiritual hope comes from the promises of God's word. So faith is the substance of the promises of God's word and the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see here that faith is very important. That faith is the substance of things we hope for. A lot of people are hoping to be healed. A lot of people are hoping to be saved. A lot of people are hoping for finances. But faith gives us the substance of those things we hope for. Again, where does faith come from? We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I will continue from this day forward to tell you that faith can only come through the word of God. So hearing comes through the hearing and the hearing and the hearing of the word of God. And remember that hearing is report, fame. It can come through teaching. It come through preaching. Come through a good book that contains the word of God. It come through singing. Come through a good testimony. Whatever way that it'll come, as long as it contains the word of God, that word that's being proclaimed can bring forth faith. And so today I'd like to share with you how to release this faith. How do we release this faith? Go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. God begins to show us how to begin to release the faith that begins to be created in our spirit by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Pastor, if I don't have faith in an area, what do I do? Find the promises that guarantee you what God has provided you, for they're all yes and amen, and begin to continue to cast those seed into your spirit. Same way if I needed corn in my garden or tomatoes in my garden, I would continue to plant those seeds that I need to reap the fruit or the harvest of what I need. If I needed corn, I'd plant corn seed. If I needed cucumbers, I'd plant cucumber seed. And so in the same realm, in the realm of the Spirit, we must plant the seed that we need. If we need salvation in our home, we plant salvation seed. If we need peace in our mind, we find scriptures that promise us peace and continue to sow those into our spirit. And eventually, we don't know how, it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, how this faith will begin to come forth. But it says that we don't even have to understand that, that if we continue to plant that seed, faith will begin to come. And as that faith becomes to come, it said that seed will begin to root, that seed will begin to grow a blade, that seed will begin to grow a plant, and eventually the flower and the fruit and eventually harvest comes. So we continue to stay hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. But faith without works does us no good, James says. Faith has to have works. Even the devil believes there is a God and trembles. So faith alone is kind of not operative for us. We have to release that faith that's been created in our spirit through the hearing and hearing of the word of God, and we do that by speaking it. Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. This is an imperative. It's a command. God's commanding us that we must have the same kind of faith that he has, that this faith is a command. And we must receive this faith. And then in verse 23, he begins to tell us how we release that command of faith out of our spirit. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice here again, it says that we speak to the mountain. So our faith begins to speak to the mountains of our life. In Greek, these mountains are hindrances. Anything that begins to hinder our faith, or anything that begins to hinder our walk with Christ, Christ in us, then we are commanded by God to use our faith that he has given us through the hearing of the word of God and look straight at that mountain and begin to command it to be removed. That word be removed and be cast are both imperatives. They're both commands, but in studying it out is what they call pronouncement of imperatives. What that means, as soon as you speak it, it is though it has absolutely happened. So when you begin to speak to that mountain, you must believe that you have just commanded that mountain to be removed and be cast out of your way. And we'll see that in a moment when Jesus spoke to a fig tree. And it also goes on and says, you shall not doubt. Again, in the Greek, this brings it out as a negative with an imperative, means that you are not to allow or do not ever doubt. We are not allowed to waver. We are not allowed to doubt. If we begin to doubt, if we begin to waver, then our faith cannot operate. We cannot command those mountains to be removed out of our life. We're actually hindering ourselves from operating in the faith that God wants us to begin operating. And what I find in faith is two steps. One, faith is to remove hindrances. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, around verse 26 or 27, it says, there's those things that think there's something in the world, but we're to bring them to naught. So our faith takes those things of the world, or those things that we think are something, that appear to be something that has fruit in it or worth walking it out. When we find that it becomes a hindrance in our life, then we use this faith to remove it out of our life by speaking to it through the faith that God has given us. Also in Romans in chapter 4, it says that we're to call those things that do not exist as though they do exist. So we see that faith not only removes the hindrances in our life, because as soon as we hear the word, Satan comes in to bring afflictions and persecutions and the cares of this world and lust of other things, and we can remove those things through speaking to them, through those hindrances that are trying to block our walk with faith and stop us from believing in God. We can command those things to be removed and cast in the sea. But we also begin to call those things that do not exist as though they exist. In other words, we can take what God has promised us in the Word, like He did to Abram. He looked at Abram, which meant a good man, a good integrity man. But now I'm going to make you the father of many nations. At age 75, he did not even have a seed to become the father of many nations. But God called those things that did not exist, as though they did exist. He began to call Abram, Abraham. And he wanted Abram to begin to call those things that did not exist as though they existed. He wanted him to begin to call those things as the way God called them through the commandment of faith. He wanted Abram to call himself Abraham. I am the father of many nations. And we see that eventually, and 24 years later, that Abram eventually became persuaded that what God said he was able to perform. But notice, it took Abram 24 years to be able to establish that faith in his spirit, that he could rise up and call those things that be not as if they were, or those things that did not exist as though they exist. And he began to call himself Abraham. And within that 1 year of calling himself Abraham, he had his child named Isaac. But 24 years he struggled and went in circles, and we've seen that he was hindered by circumstances and so forth and so on. So in Matthew, in chapter 21, we begin to see how Jesus used this faith himself and commands us to use the same faith in our own life. If we don't use our faith, God cannot do nothing for us. A lot of times we blame God for our circumstances. We blame God for the bad times and the terrible times and the things that we experience in life, but we need to begin to examine the Word of God, that some of these things might be in our life as hindrances because we haven't been using the faith that God can give us through the hearing of the Word of God, and stand up to those mountains, stand up to those hindrances, and begin to cast them away from our life and get removed out of our spirit, removed out of our flesh, removed out of our ways, so we can begin to move closer to who He made us in Christ. No longer do I live by my flesh after those things of the lust of the mind and the flesh, but now I live my life by the faith in Christ, or the faith of the Son of God. I live by the Word of God, by the faith that comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. In Matthew 21, starting around verse 18, Jesus is coming in the morning as he returned into the city, and he hungered. We see the humanity of Jesus. We got to understand that Jesus emptied his glory. When he came to the earth, he was like you and I. We have to understand that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power who went about. Jesus done nothing till after he was anointed. For he could not, because he emptied himself of the glory. In John 17, we begin to see where he thanked God that when he returned back to heaven, he received that same glory. Now, when he saw a fig tree, and that fig tree represents those things of the world that might be pleasing to us, but they're actually nothing. They're the things that we need to begin to call that those things that think they're something as nothing, so that we can begin to rebuild our lives through the faith of God and begin to call those things that do not exist as though they exist. Look what Jesus says. He comes and he sees a fig tree in the way, and he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. Some things of the world look so good, don't they? They look so pleasurable. They look things worth searching out. But when we get involved with those things, we find there's nothing in them. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on this henceforth forevermore. Here again, we have that prohibition of subjunctive, which says, do not ever fruit grow on this tree again. He walked up to this tree that thought it was something, and he spoke to it as it was nothing. He looked right at that tree, expecting to receive fruit, expecting to receive something to eat. When he got there, he was so disappointed. He looked right at that fig tree and said, do not ever grow fruit on this tree again. And at that moment, it's just like the prohibitive imperative. When he spoke it, it automatically happened in the realm of the natural. It withered. Notice what the wording says here. As soon as he spoke, it says that presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is this fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and do not ever doubt, there's that word again, do not ever doubt. So if we begin to doubt, if we begin to waver, our faith cannot operate. And sometimes when we're walking in faith, we blame God too many times. We need to step back and listen to what we've been speaking. Are we speaking our natural faith? Are we speaking word faith or spiritual faith? Faith that comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Are we speaking a faith that comes by what we see or what we hear or what we reason? You shall not only do this which has been done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Notice here that it's a conditional in this one. In Mark 11, it was not only a condition, it was a command. We're to stand to that mountain. We're to command those mountains, those hindrances of life, to become nothing in our life, to be removed out of our life, so that we can begin to call those things that do not exist as though they exist. Here he says it's conditional. Does that change it? No. What Jesus is saying to the disciples and those following is it's conditional upon how we react to our hindrances. Sometimes we pray that God remove our hindrances. We ask all the churches in the community to pray and ask him to remove our hindrances. We go to the pastor and we beg him to pray and ask him to remove our hindrances. But Jesus said it's up to each one of us to take the faith that comes by the hearing of the word of God, stand up to the mountains that are hindrances in our life. It's based on the condition of how we react to it. If we begin to speak our natural faith, then those natural faiths will continue to grow and we will not receive the promises of God. But if we condition ourselves to stand to that mountain and do what Jesus commanded us to do, we look at those hindrances, we command them to be removed and cast into the sea, and it shall come to pass. What also I want you to see here, we got to understand that the book of the Bible and our faith is a spiritual force. What we need to see is that those things that we speak are done in the realm of the Spirit first. And through our confession, it's like a receipt. We receive what God has done or what God has promised us through the Word. And through that confession, we're telling God that we have received what His Word has told us. And then when we speak it to the mountain, we're telling the mountain that we have received God's faith and that we're speaking to that mountain in faith. And it must obey us, not because of who we are, but because of who God is and His Word that has filled us with faith. And we're speaking God to that mountain. We're speaking His Word to the mountain. It's like if God Himself was standing into that mountain commanding it to be removed. Not based on us, but based on the word. Now notice it's conditional. If we do not use our faith, if we do not command those mountains to be removed, they will never be removed. God's hands are tied. Let's begin to untie God's hands. Let's begin to get full of this faith that Jesus commanded us, that we need to have the same kind of faith that God does. And that faith comes by hearing and hearing His word. Amen? Let's see another person. Let's see this acted out. There was a Roman centurion. And Jesus begins to share this story with us. And He said, not only can you do this that's been done to the fig tree, but much more. I think we haven't really meditated or thought of the power or the force, the dunamis that's in faith, and what we as a church or individually corporately could establish on this earth through the faith that God has given us. Look at this. A Roman centurion gets a hold of it. In Luke chapter 7, it says in verse 3, he heard of Jesus. How's faith come? By hearing, hearing by the word of God. He heard what Jesus was doing. He heard that there was a man from Nazareth that was healing by the power of God. He was hearing how people were coming, touching the hem of his garment, and they were getting healed. And here he has a servant that's sick, nigh unto death. So he hears about Jesus, and his faith begins to rise. Verse 2, it's Roman. Certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Verse 3, when he heard about Jesus in Luke 7, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he is worthy for whom you should do this. He loves our nation. He's built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with him. When he was now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am a man that under authority that thou shouldest not, I am not worthy, excuse me, that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but listen to this, but say in a word, command in your words, or speak your faith. Speak it in words. How do we release our faith? We release our faith that's in our spirit by words. We know that we received it because the Word of God said that we have, and we believe that we received it in the realm of the Spirit first, and through our confession, we bring it over into the natural. Listen to what Jesus said. The man says to Jesus, but say in a word, command through your words, release your faith, and my servant shall be healed. And I know by this is again that pronouncement of an imperative. If you command my servant to be healed, because you have authority over all sick and diseases, like I have authority as a Roman centurion over 100 men, if I command this man to go, he goes. If I command this man to come, he comes. If I command this other man to do this, he does it. So you're another man under authority. You have authority in the realm of the Spirit by God. You have been established through authority of Him, the God that created heaven and earth, that whatever you speak, whatever you command, it will be done. So if you look at the sickness, if you look at the hindrance of disease, you look at the hindrance of sickness, and you command it to be removed, it will be removed. And that servant of mine will be healed. Again, I want you to see both of these is an instantaneous present and a pronouncement of imperative. What that means, as soon as Jesus would command it, it was done instantly or instantaneously or simultaneously as the words. Soon as the words were spoken, it was done. Isn't that powerful? Faith that can begin to remove the hindrances of our life. And then replace those hindrances by calling those things that be that do not exist as though they exist. This servant was sick. He was hindered by a disease. His life was coming to an end. And if we could take that faith and begin to speak to that mountain of sickness, the disease, and call it forth as the Word of God promises, then He would destroy and remove that hindrance of sickness and disease. He would begin to call those things that do not exist, which is healing for His body, and it would become instantaneously would begin to be manifested like that fig tree withered. His body would be healed. Now over in Matthew chapter 8, we have the same story, but the Holy Spirit put a different twist on it. He wanted to see in Luke that we command it. It's an imperative. So sometimes our faith, we command hindrances. But sometimes when it comes to prayer, when we come to God, and we're going to talk about this another week, but just touching on it, sometimes when we want to ask God for something in prayer, we got to know that it's His divine will for us. That we're not asking amiss. That we're asking according to His perfect divine will. So He puts a conditional there. Some things we've asked for wasn't God's will, was it? So it won't manifest. But again, not to get off on that today, but look at this, it's conditional again. He said, the Roman soldier answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But if thou would speak the word only, then my servant shall be healed. Here is a futuritive indicative. It's passive. In the Greek, there's what they call theological passives. It means that if we speak our faith, if we instantly speak what the faith that's in our spirit, it says that this theological passive is a hidden sign to the Greek mind that God is at work. That a passive in the Greek showed that it was God that could only heal. That the Greek understood that no man could heal themselves, that no doctor could heal them, that it was initially God's power that did the healing. So if we would take our faith unconditioned on the promises of God, and we would speak to that body that's full of sickness and disease, and we would command it to be removed and be cast out of our body, and begin to call those things that be not or do not exist as they exist, it will come to pass. That point right there, that part, they understood that only God could do. But notice it's on condition again that we do the speaking, that we must command the sickness and disease. God will not do anything that we don't want Him to do, or God will not violate our own personal will. So we got to will it, and a will is the word of God. It's God's will, so we have to put faith of God in us so that His word begins to change our will so that we begin to will what God's promises promise us that He will do for us. But He said, at home lieth my sick servant, grievously being tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal. And the Roman said, no, I'm also a man under authority. I'm not worthy that you come on my roof. But if you would just speak the word only, if you would just speak my word only, then and only then will my servant be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Our natural faith can grasp the authority in the natural. We need to begin to understand the authority that we have in the realm of the Spirit. That the Word of God gives us a delegated authority to be able to speak to hindrances that are killing, stealing, and destroying, because Satan is a stealer, he's a robber. And those things are coming in, lying to us to murder our life, to separate us from the blessing that God has given us through His grace. And He's given us the means to remove those things that are coming in arrayed against us. We can begin to speak to those hindrances through the faith of God, through the promises that He has given us through His word. We are conditioned then to stand up and begin to speak, though. Our confession is the receipt that we have received it already in the realm of the Spirit. And through that faith in our spirit, through already receiving it in our heart, we begin to release that faith through our mouth. And through the releasing of that faith out of our mouth, we're calling those things that do not exist as though they exist. This man says, if you would just call into existence that which does not exist in this man's life, that you are a man of authority over sickness and disease, if you would just speak your word, if you would command it by your faith, if you would release it by what you speak, then my servant will be healed. Healing doesn't come first. Speaking our faith comes first. Natural faith wants to be like Thomas. We'll only believe if we see. But Jesus said to Thomas and those in the room, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. We have to get a hold of faith. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for. It's built on the promises of God's word. It's the substance of what He promised us. And it's the evidence of things not seen. How do I know I'll be healed? How do I know I'll be saved? How do I know I'll have peace? Because God's word promised me that promise. And my evidence is what God said, because behind that promise is God's word, God's throne, God himself. He could swear by no higher. He swore by himself. And he said, if my word's no good, then I am no good. If my word is good, then I am good. And so we have to begin to understand that our faith is built on the promises of God's word. And Jesus stopped. He stopped. We heard last time a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. When she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, somebody touched me. Here again, a Roman centurion, not even a Jew, not even a man of a covenant, not even a God-fearer, a proselyte. He's a Roman centurion under the Roman power, under the Roman government. He hears about Jesus. His faith rises, and he sends servants to bring him to heal his servant. And when he comes and he hears this man's confession of who and what God is and what he can do through faith, he stops and turns around to those that are following him and said, I have not seen such great faith. What is great faith? Great faith is calling those things that do not exist as though they exist. Great faith is looking at the hindrances of our life, looking them square in the eye, and telling them to be removed and cast out of ourselves, and what we have spoke will instantly come to pass, just like that fig tree. When Jesus came to that fig tree and saw no fruit and was disappointed because of that tree, he said, never again, do not ever. This tree produced fruit again, and it withered that moment that he spoke it. And Jesus saw this man's faith. He said, you speak it, and my servant will be healed the moment you speak it. And he said, I have yet not seen this great faith even in Israel. Now it's conditional, because look at verse 13 in closing. Jesus said unto the Roman centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, as thou hast used your faith, released it through speaking, so be it done unto thee. See the conditional of that? According as you have believed, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. You released and worked that faith by speaking it, by releasing it out of your spirit through your mouth, by the confession of your words. You speak the promise of God that built the faith in your spirit, and through speaking that promise, through speaking that faith, it shall be done. If we waver, and Jesus said, do not ever waver. If we begin to speak what our natural faith sees, reasons, hears, tastes, or touch, then our faith cannot work. A double-minded man cannot receive anything from the Lord. Let's begin from this day forward to begin to meditate on this, that we have been given a faith. We're commanded to get this faith by hearing and hearing the word of God, and then we're to put this faith to work, calling those hindrances out of our life, and being kind of called those things that be not as if they are. Let's begin to receive this. Let's begin to study this out. Let's begin to understand that God has given us the way, that when there was complete darkness covering the earth, God looked in the face of that darkness and commanded through his word, light be. Let's begin to look at our hindrances. Let's begin to call those things that we don't have in our life that we need, that the promises of God promise us. Let's build that faith in us by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing that word. And then let's begin to release that faith through our confession, speaking the promises of God, and let God begin to work in our life again. Amen. And Jesus stopped and turned around just like that woman and said, I have not seen such great faith, not even in Israel, my covenant people. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to learn to walk in faith. Father, you have given us the ability to call those things that be not as if they are. You've given us the ability to look at those things that think they're something and bring them to naught and replace it with those things that do not exist, that they exist through the will of you, Father, through the precious promises that you have given us. Father God, let's each of us begin to establish the faith in our spirit by feeding and meditating on those promises that we need in our life. Father, let us begin to understand as we continue to meditate and continue to sow and continue to read the word, that word that we're putting in our spirit will begin to grow and that faith will begin to rise. And then we need to learn to begin to release it. It's conditional. If we don't release it, then God cannot help us. And that's powerful. But we need to get a hold of that in this hour, that we can begin to change our lives, not only individually, but corporately. Our churches begin to come full again. Our life can become full of joy again. Our well of water inside us can begin to bubble up, and no longer do I live by the flesh, but by the faith of the Son of God who lives in me, Christ who dwells in me. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to begin to continue to talk about this, because this is what we need in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.